Hi, and welcome to the fifth episode of Math and Money. Today, we'll talk about what's arguably the most important topic in finance right now, interest rates. First, have you ever thought about what inflation means? As we understand it, inflation is a general increase in prices. If we had a dollar for every time we heard inflation, we'd just have more inflation. This brings me to the strongest reason for growing levels of inflation, an increase in money supply. Inflation can also be thought of as a reduction in the purchasing power of money, because a general increase in prices leaves you with a lesser quantity of the same set of goods for the same amount of money. Now, have you ever thought, why are interest rates important? For starters, these are largely reference rates for lending a loan, which is usually risk-free, which means that it has no uncertainty of losing money. And a spread is added to these rates, which basically gives us a higher rate to compensate for additional levels of credit risk, which is the possibility that the borrower will default. From the borrower's perspective, interest rates dictate what we pay to the lender when we borrow money to buy a house or car, decide to get an expensive education, or fund the needs of a new or existing business, also known as cost of borrowing. Remember the rule of thumb: riskier the loan, higher the interest rate. This is critical in understanding how interest rates affect us and the larger economy. Say if you were able to get a loan at an interest rate which is more attractive than the one the banks offer it at, you would most definitely take it, either for a lack of a better deal or simply to flip that loan and make a higher interest rate by lending it forward. And by attractive, I mean a lower interest rate. Your income is almost always factored into three buckets: savings, investment, and consumption. Savings are cold hard cash and the money you deposit with the bank that lose its purchasing power over time in an inflationary environment, which is one where prices are constantly rising. The cash you keep with yourself will lose its purchasing power inevitably, although the bank deposits will lose its purchasing power if the rate of inflation is greater than the rate of interest your bank pays you on the amount that you have parked with them, which is often lesser than the prevailing rate of inflation. Investments are interest or non-interest bearing assets that may or may not increase in value over time. But across these investments, you are expecting to make an income, which is either periodic or at a later date, which is the incentive you seek when you part with that portion of your income. Consumption is a general word for your expenditures, bills basically. You may have noticed when you make an investment, you are essentially deferring your consumption to a future date. And theoretically, this depends on your intertemporal rate of substitution, which is your willingness to delay such consumption. Now, the relationship between your income and each of these components, such as savings, investment, and consumption, are largely dependent on your habits and behavioral reactions to changes in income, also known as the marginal propensity to consume, which means how much more will you consume for every dollar of increased income, or marginal propensity to save, which means how much more will you save for every dollar of increased income. How do interest rates affect inflation? Remember, we talked about banks lending to you, which means banks also need to borrow from someone because they just can't print money. That privilege is afforded to the central bank in most economies. In our case, the Reserve Bank of India. Banks make money off the difference in interest rates while borrowing and lending. The simplest way to understand this is to assume an example where the bank borrows $1 million to say at 4% from the RBI. I mean, in this case, it would be the international rupee, not the dollar, and lends the same million to you at 7%. That differential 3% of a million is their income. Practically though, they have operational expenses as well, so they'll need to make a ton of loans to be profitable, coupled with the allied services they offer, like credit cards, transaction charges, etc. Also, in reality, the RBI just does not send money over to banks as loans. It purchases securities, which is a promise to pay at a later date, from banks at an amount, say X, and then after some days receives an amount higher than X, which wherein the difference is the rate of interest that the bank pays on the amount lent by the RBI to the bank, which is also known as the repo rate. Repo, which is short for repurchase. Now that we know exactly where the banks normally borrow from the other banks or the RBI itself, this makes RBI the originator of money supply in the country. This should give you a fair idea of how they can control inflation, simply by limiting money supply. Where the RBI does that by increasing rates of interest, which is the repo rate, because then the banks borrow lesser, and as a result, so do we. Here's where the magic happens. When we borrow lesser, we save more, consume lesser, and invest lesser. Let's pick consumption. When we consume lesser, the general level of demand for products and services fizzles out, and so the prices will have to be reduced for the demand to rise, since there is surplus supply. This combination of reduction in money supply and increasing repo rates is how interest rates decrease inflation. Economics 101, increasing supply compared to a constant level of demand reduces prices, and increasing demand compared to a constant level of supply increases prices. Have you ever thought about what happened during the pandemic? In events that exhibit the contagion effect, where an economic crisis or boom spreads across countries causing a ripple, such as the COVID-19 pandemic, different tools may be used to solve the same problem across different economies. The world's oldest democracy started handing out checks to all tax-paying citizens to basically survive the day and stimulate consumption during the onset of the crisis. What does increased consumption lead to? Increased demand and therefore inflation. Why was inflation so prominent in countries like America? You said it. Increased money supply in combination with lower rates of interest. In contrast, the world's largest democracy had a slightly more controlled journey throughout the pandemic. While India also reduced rates, helicopter money was not abruptly handed to all citizens. We provided indirect benefits to businesses such as production-linked incentives, marginal tax cuts, and cash transfers only to the people at the bottom of the pyramid, which is daily wage workers and those who make a minimum wage or lesser, indirectly to stimulate consumption, and we started raising rates towards the end of the pandemic. Now, the next time someone says rates, inflation, purchasing power, rising prices, or anything remotely synonymous, you know it better than the average Joe who hasn't heard this yet. My name is Krishanu Kaul, and thank you for listening to Interest Rates 101.